You're listening to
Twisted Tropes.
Familiar settings.
Wild new tales.
Now on with the story.
Scandals and Scavenges, a post-apocalyptic Regency romance. Episode 8, Rumors and Recriminations. Or, fortuitous is the theme of the day. Last time on Scandals and Scavengers, our protagonists were still getting down at Lady Godwallow's ball. Samuel came face to face with Desmond Gammabloom, Henry's conniving former assistant, and found that he had not changed in the intervening months. After her dance with Major Corny, Edgewater ran into Gladstone and Nigella, who were having a lovely time together as usual. And that's when the excitement ratcheted up. With a royal fanfare, Queen Mara arrived at her first event of the season. Not wasting any time, Nathaniel Drake immediately took the opportunity to provide his brother-in-law an introduction, and Queen Mara welcomed Samuel into the ton. Unfortunately, it seemed that Nathaniel would be heading back into the wildlands soon. Thoughts returning to the secret nursery, Ruby solicited the advice of Mr. Salt on the disturbing situation of the dolls. And not knowing how to refuse, Salt agreed to repair the damaged doll's arm the next day. When invitations were delivered to Ruby, Samuel, and the Clarence family to attend a séance in Lady Gadwallow's library, Ruby dragged Salt and Lefroy along as her guests. Mary's Con, as spiritual medium Madame Belladonna, rode along swimmingly until she was overtaken by an actual spirit, the ghost of Henry Drake, who delivered a frightful warning to Samuel to beware the third sons and left poor Nicodemus unconscious inside the idol. Samuel, shaken by the interaction with his dead husband, ran out of the seance and the ball, but was followed by Salt, who extended the hand of friendship and an invitation to meet him at the Seltzer residence the next day. Meanwhile, fully convinced of Madame Belladonna's spiritual prowess, and fearing for Ruby's safety, Ruby and Edgewater invited Madame Belladonna to conduct a seance in the nursery the very next day. When the room was finally cleared of spectators, Mary rescued Nicodemus from inside the idol, and he confessed to having an unwelcome and uncontrolled ability to channel the actual spirits of the dead. Eventually recovered from the shock, Samuel returned to the ball to fulfill his two dances with Edgewater, and the night rounded out with Ruby dancing with Reuben until he was, once again, called away by Second Lieutenant Gammabloom. Now, we return to Neo Britannia to see if morning has shed some light on the previous evening's events.
All right, and welcome back. We have just a little bit of the night to finish out with after a very eventful ball at Lady Gadwallow's. You all return home to largely quiet homes. Except one. And it's not so much a sound that gets you, it's the smell. The smell of something burning, or that was burning. Following the smell, Ruby, you go up to Richard's room. God.
Like, why are you looking at me?
Your dad's room is dimly lit, and on the floor, you see a pillow that has the center burned and smoldering. The room reeks of burning feathers. Your dad, make a medicine check.
All right. All right. Okay. Please be good to me. Oh, that's a 13.
No.
Your dad. Hey, that's not bad.
It's not bad.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Honestly.
A 16 minus 3.
Great. Ruby, your dad is, his head is at a slightly different angle than when you left. He's sweating, and there is the slightest amount of bruising up around his, like, the bridge of his nose and, like, down under his eyes.
I go up to him and I cup his... Is the fire out before I do anything?
It seems to be just sort of that like last stage of smoldering, like a campfire that hasn't been tended a while.
All right.
But yeah, ooh, man, whatever feathers they stuff these pillows with do not mix well with fire. Just the smell in here is god-awful. All
right, I go up. First, I'm going to open a window and I'm going to try and get some of the smoke out. And then I'm going to go up and I'm going to cup his head and give him a little some slaps and be like, "Daddy, are you all right? What's happening?"
Rosamund.
God damn it, man.
And his eyes roll back and he goes fully into a coma.
No. Again.
Oh. Rosamund, I'm going to run out and I'm just going to shout into the hall, "Help! I need somebody. Somebody, there was a fire."
Okay, cool. There is, you get some staff members come up that have been awoken.
Did somebody come in here? There was a fire in this room.
No, Miss Rhinelander. There was no one that came to visit tonight. Everything was locked down. We'll take care of things immediately.
All right. Remind me to call the doctor tomorrow. I've been meaning to check in with him about my daddy, and he was just he woke up from his coma, and then he went back into it, I think.
As you wish, Miss Rhinelander.
Oh,
all
right.
Make me a visual-based perception check.
That is a 16.
Fantastic. So as the servants are bustling around, they're venting the room. One of them is disposing of the pillow. You're looking around, and it's just so very overwhelming. There is no one that should have been in here. Why would they have lit one pillow on fire? What happened to your dad? You throw your hands in the air, and as you look to the sky, why is the ceiling scorched? Right above your father's head, there is a scorch mark on the ceiling. Like flame hit and then expanded.
Oh, boy.
What room is right above my daddy's? Or is he... Are we on the top
floor?
You're
on the top floor.
Yeah.
So, I mean, technically, attic?
Yeah.
Don't go in the attic. I swear to God.
Invite Ruben. No, get out of here. Get out, voices in my head. Oh, Ruben, I should talk to him. Anyway, so the flame is just like right above him. Is there like a way I can go up and see if it's like coming from somewhere above there?
Just to be very clear, there isn't a flame. There is a scorch mark of a singular blast of flame.
Oh.
Nothing is still on fire.
So like something like exploded or something maybe.
Maybe.
Do I know anybody in this high society who deals with explosives? Or like besides the military, I guess?
Ooh, make me a... Oh, golly. Let's call this a... Make a charisma save, because I'm going to say this is going to represent you mingling and just knowing things about people.
It's the Hensons in Public Works. Only those are accidents.
That is an 18.
Ooh.
An 18, you say? Well, people that might have some knowledge of explosives, there is... I mean, there are the Coghills. They have sort of controlling interest in ironworks, so lots of flame there. There are the Gearboxes.
Mm-hmm.
They have basically a controlling interest in an artifice firm, but you're on great terms with them, so I don't know why they would be an interest. There are the Gamma Blooms, who actually specifically deal in firearm manufacture. So black powder, that might be a thing. We're avoiding purely military folks. If you're looking for explosives, Lord Philip Wolverton. He has controlling interest in a blacksmithing firm. So again, fire. They're the Blood Axes, who do metal reclamation. So sometimes they do have to do some blasting. And the Flints, they also would do blasting.
All right.
So there are plenty of folks out there. Salvage and Reclamation, the Blakeleys, their firm may have some controlled explosives for excavation.
So at least
excavation.
Half the ton knows how to blow things up.
A quarter.
Yeah.
Like maybe a fifth. But like maybe have some kind of tangential connection to explosives in some form or another.
All right. I have my suspect list.
Okay. As you're thinking of this, the servants make their way out. They've cleared. And are you staying in your father's room? Are you going to your room? Are you going to the other room?
I'm going to make sure, first of all, that the servants clean up the room a little bit, get the flaming pillow or the cinderin pillow out of there. And then I'm going to go and I have to peek in the room with the dolls because I haven't been in there all day. So, or for a few hours. And I'm just curious, you know? So I got
to
go.
I mean, it's a logical thing to be curious about. You walk in and... do you bring in a lamp or are you just walking in the dark?
I'm gonna walk in. I mean, I don't think I have a lamp. So I think I'm gonna if the curtains aren't drawn, I'm just gonna go up in the darkness and open the curtains so that the moonlight can come in.
That is a great thought. You're about two steps into the room.
Oh, all right.
And you hear something and you feel something. You just hear, and you feel the slightest hint of fingers pushing the hair back over your ears.
Hello?
And the room's lit up. No, I'm sorry. The room's not lit up, but you can see perfectly fine.
What?
As you're saying that, your voice doesn't sound right. Your voice isn't yours.
Do I recognize the voice?
No, it's just, it's your voice and something. It's making it somewhat indecipherable.
Oh, right.
And it's then you notice your face. You weren't wearing your mask when you walked in. But you are wearing one now.
What does it look like?
Oh, I'm glad you asked.
I'm not.
It's got to be better than the weird bird beak thing she was wearing before.
This is an improvement.
But it nestled so perfectly in her breasts.
I think you should check your phone.
Oh, good. Everyone. Oh, my. All right.
Daniel's looking relaxed and normal.
I grasp my face. And I definitely feel like there's something there. Can I remove it from my face?
The minute you think about it, it just discorporates.
Well, that's handy.
I think about putting it back on.
It reassembles, and it doesn't just reappear. You actually feel and hear as it reassembles on your face. Doesn't hurt.
Oh.
Doesn't seem it's going to fall off. But it's there. And as soon as you willed it off, the room got dark. You willed it back on, you could see fine.
Oh. I guess these are like some sort of... I don't know. I don't know what's going on in this room. If you can hear me, talk to me sometime, maybe. I don't know. If this is a gift, I appreciate it. I look in the mirror. Where are the dolls that I left in the crib? Are they still there?
They're still there.
All right.
Make a perception check.
10.
Visual.
That is... Oh. That was with advantage.
that is with the advantage. Okay. Yeah, not exactly positioned right, but what's different, you can't really tell.
All right. I look at them and I say, if you two gave me this mask... I appreciate it. It's a little creepy. I'm not going to lie, though. But thank you. I appreciate it. And I will curtsy, and I will turn, and I walk out the door, and I go to turn and close the door and realize that I can't close it because there's not there, and I say, that's what I forgot. I got to talk to Samuel about fixing the door he broke.
Yep, that was completely his fault. Mm-hmm. All right. And unless you have something else you want to do, maybe it's time for everyone to get some sleep.
Yeah.
Who's sleeping after that?
As I, before we cut to the morning, I think Salt's has some trouble sleeping that night. I think he was stressed going into the evening, and then hearing Henry's voice and kind of his exchange with Sam has him kind of rattling. So before he actually falls asleep, I think he gets up from his bed. He goes over to that desk and he pulls out the letter with the kind of governmental seal on it and the twin letter that came with it, that when he puts it on his desk, you can see is signed from Henry Drake. And then kind of mulls it over, looks it back a bit, and then begins drafting a letter of his own.
Excellent. Ooh, very intrigued by what's going to happen here. All right. Anyone else have anything they want to do when they get home? And the next day dawns. And it's a beautiful day, full of possibilities. And I feel like there's a lot of correspondence that has to happen because there's a seance that's going to occur at some point in time with guests that may or may not know when. You know what? Let's give Ruby a little bit of time to get unshell-shocked.
Thanks.
And let's start over at the Drake place and see what Samuel is up to for the morning.
Yeah, because I'm not shell-shocked after having the ghost of my husband. First thing, bright and early, I need to find Lucas. I'm just going to be asking him if Henry ever in the past mentioned third sons or anything of that sort.
In what context, sir?
That's a good question. I'm not quite sure. Was he ever overly concerned about a third son?
Before he met you, sir, he had determined that he was going to be a lifelong bachelor. We were honestly all quite taken aback that he had finally found his someone.
That's really nice.
Yeah, just like a pained sigh escapes my lips.
Just trying to get this morning started and just cannot catch a fucking break.
Just instant reminders. Thank you, Lucas. I'm sorry. Last night was a bit of an event, to say the least. Lucas, I have a plan, and I might need your assistance with it.
That's what I'm here for, sir.
Good man. So, Evan, I know the rest of the players haven't heard about this plan yet, but... So I need to start drafting two sets of invites. And as well, this morning... So I'm going to have a full morning. So it's going to be drafting two sets of invites for a ball. That will be happening in about 5 days' time. Should give me enough time. I will also be writing to the cartographers. Now that I have a connection through Nathaniel Drake, I need a message, some correspondence sent to the Wildlands.
Oh.
And I think that's where I'll leave it for now. So that's my morning.
Oh, dear listeners, if you could only see the looks on the faces of the other players.
There's going to be a ball at Offley House?
The best party is happening at Offley House.
Fuck,
I just really hope it doesn't live up to its reputation after 9 p.m.
I hope it does.
But yeah, that's my morning is all.
I knew you had a secret plan. I knew it.
Well, oh, that is one thing. I will be sending out a calling card if I have time, because I don't know about the damn seance that's happening tonight, to Mary Smith and to Edgewater again.
Oh, no. Yes!
The weirdest non-love triangle.
And then one more letter drafted to Immortan Salt to make sure we're still on for tonight.
All right. Fantastic. You'll probably get the response back from the cartographers just at the beginning of calling hours.
Okay.
So, Mary, how are you feeling this morning? You had a pretty low key night.
I think Mary's a little hungover. I think she hit up Trudy after she got back from the ball, and they drank a bunch of whiskey out of some teacups, and you know. Just didn't talk about what was going on, but clearly, like, both needed to have a drink.
You don't have to explain yourself. We've all had those days.
Yeah. Trudy, Mary's wasted. Trudy, have you ever been to a ball? I don't know if that's rude to ask.
Our social strata doesn't go to balls, my dear. Mm. Yes, I mean, we can be staff at them, but that's just, it's not a thing we do.
Such a waste, because I feel like you'd be like, so, you'd have such a good time, and even though they suck, Trudy.
I mean, before my hip went, I was quite a dancer.
I can tell. Absolutely.
Oh, my.
The rhythm on you.
Oh, I could cut a rug.
You could cut a rug. That's crazy.
Are we sure Emily's not wasted?
It's Mary, not Emily. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask her if the Sparks ever throw balls and if she's ever been a staff at a ball at this house.
Much to your... No, not mother. Yeah, much to Lady Marguerite's chagrin.
I swear to God, Trudy, you know how I feel about that.
I know. The lord of the house is between you, me, and the china, a wee bit of a cheapskate.
Yeah.
So he's perfectly happy to entertain on someone else's tab. Mm.
That's the impression I got, yeah.
But you didn't hear it from me.
I've never heard anything from you, Trudy.
Shush, 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 shush.
We shush each other drunkenly. and then I go to bed. So yeah, I wake up that morning feeling a little, you know, rugged. But I'm sure that Trudy has, you know, laid out a hangover breakfast for me because she's an angel and I love her. And I think that I will mostly spend the day or the morning preparing for an impromptu seance for what I'm going to assume is just a normal one. Because last night was the weird one where an actual ghost showed up. and I feel like this, so thank God that was probably a once in a lifetime situation.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Unless Nick has another weird spirit situation.
I can't imagine
it's that common. Yeah. So I'm just going to show up to this like rich girl's house and like, you know, snoop around and scare her and, you know, get some money.
Pretty low juice.
Low juice. So is
Nicodemus getting the afternoon evening off, or is he going to be with you to do, you know, minor shenanigans? What are we talking here?
Maybe I'll send him a note and ask if he's like feeling up to it, because the last time I saw him, he was like half unconscious under a bush. So, you know, Mary's trying to like, you know, she had an intense experience last night, and so she's trying to be like a little bit more mindful about how she's conducting herself, perhaps. Mostly just with Nick, because she needs him for her scam business. So I'll send a note asking if he is like feeling up to assisting with the seance, and if he'd like to either disguise himself or hide himself there, or if he needs the day off.
Excellent. That will that too will be responded to right about the beginning of calling hours.
All right.
Edgewater, let's bounce over here.
I don't think Edgewater has any plans other than helping Ruby today. So she's going to send a note to Ruby just asking what time about she should arrive, because of course she can't just pop over there because there won't be a chaperone, and unless she could bring Gladstone again, what should we do? And that's what the note is basically, and she just sends that off.
Okay. Ruby, feel free to respond.
You basically get a response that says, please arrive. This is going to be a late night seance, and please arrive at my place at 9:33 on the dot, and the seance will start at 10:03 on the dot.
So specific.
Perfect. That's exactly what I expected.
And in that, it will say basically the list of people that I'm inviting, just so you know. It's going to be very small. Belladonna. I'm going to invite Lord Samuel Drake. I'm going to invite you.
Getting this letter, and I just thought, oh dear, that would have been really awkward.
And I'm gonna also invite, what is your title? I'm sorry,
Mister.
All right,
Mister
Salt. And in parentheses it says because he's gonna fix one of the dolls, and also P.S. Samuel is gonna fix the door as well, and also maybe, little Lord Lefroy. That's what it says.
Oh. All right. Well, at least Lord Drake will be there.
You're bringing the upgrade.
All right. Does Edgewater have anything else she wants to do with the morning?
I think she's going to go over to Axel's and get a little fencing practice in because it's been
a while. Fantastic. On your way out to the practice area that you've established in the garden, Axel has got some coffee and a light breakfast laid out because he believes you should always snack in breaks, you know, keep your energy up. You pass your dad's study, and Gladstone is kind of bustling out of it in an excited hurry. And you look in and you see Albion with a very satisfied half grin on his face.
Father?
Yes, Edgewater? How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well, but you look like you're doing even better.
Well, I would say that as the Clarence men go, I am doing second best this morning.
But wait, that would mean she's already said yes.
Oh, we're not going to put the cart before the horse there, Edgewater. But he is going to do a little shopping, so he is prepared when and if the time comes that it is appropriate to ask a particular question.
I can think of a wonderful No, Ruby said he wasn't invited. Okay, never mind.
There are times I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about, but
it's all right, Father.
So, all right. Well, that's one down.
Ooh. Wow. And it's Nigella, right? I just want to be clear.
I don't believe he's been courting two young ladies at the same time. That would be highly improper, wouldn't it?
Well, to be officially courting them, yes, of course, but not to be... I mean, I danced with two men at the ball last night.
Yeah, I had meant to ask you about that. So, I know that Major Corny was very effusive in his way about enjoying your time.
Sure.
You were dancing with the new lord, Lord Stark.
Lord Drake. Mm-hmm. It's all right, Father. Yes.
Honestly, it's very hard for me to keep track. There are so many changing titles these days.
That's very true. You just need to read the debrets I gave you.
You know it's a very long book.
Well, that's because there are so many lords and ladies. That's not my fault.
Couldn't you put, like, I don't know, bullet points or something in there? I don't. Anyway, so Lord Drake seem to be taking the maximum acceptable amount of your time.
Oh. Indeed. Emphasis on the acceptable.
And what is, how are you feeling about that?
Oh, Father, I'm so happy!
Oh, this is first, wow.
Yeah, it's been going on for maybe 3 days, and I am really very excited about it. I think he might be my person.
Oh, really? Wow.
I think so.
That is a lot for an early morning.
Well, you didn't see him break down Ruby's door.
What? Edgewater, excuse me? What?
No. It was a thing. Ruby needed to get into a room. It was fine. He was helping her out. It was nothing improper, Father, of course.
For a gentleman to break down a lady's door, that is...
Well, who was supposed to do it, Ruby and I? Have you seen us, Father? It's not like we could lean against a door and knock it over.
You know, I'm not going to ask questions. I just, Edgewater, I want you to maybe take a step back and think a little more practically about things. You know, you've got time, and I'm just going to, forgive me for being somewhat mercenary about this, but Lord Drake is a recent widower and would be a, let's say, a lateral move. Whereas Major Corny would be quite a step up, and you do have sort of a common love protocol, a certain gift for a physical altercation. You could be quite the striking couple in more ways than one.
What do you mean, physical altercation?
Oh, well, he is an accomplished military man, and I mean...
Well, so is Lord Drake. Well, not military, exactly. But...
Well, what I'm saying is that you've been training and are quite an accomplished fighter with that their chainsword thing that...
You mean my fencing lessons, of course, yes.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying that it wouldn't be a terrible match. And just 3 days is not exactly the foundation for a lifetime. So, you know, take a step back and maybe think about it a little bit.
You are right, Father. I should spend more time with Lord Drake to see if that's going to work out. You're right. Thank you, Father. Love you. Bye.
Well played.
You know, I might be biased in this. I'm pretty sure Gladstone started courting Nigella at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I was quite shocked that you didn't throw that in his face. Yeah, but, you know.
Too worried about listening to what he said.
Fantastic. All right. Anything else for Edgewater other than making your way to Ruby's at some point?
Is Alistair just happened to be around the house while she's leaving?
Alistair is here. He is bustling about. He is trying to get a number of papers together. Now, here is something you know. At the beginning of the season, there's usually a few social events, but this also marks sort of the intellectual harvest. And this is a time for all of the various firms and foundries and academic institutions to show off what they've been working on. So Alistair, who has been attending a University of Applied Arcanum, is going to be presenting this year at the Carnival of Progress that is going to be happening in the Great Park tomorrow.
Ooh.
And he is diligently working on his presentation.
Hope the presentation is coming along well, Airhead. See you later.
Darn it, Drips, it'd be going better if you didn't interrupt me. Now I gotta start my whole spiel all over again.
Toodaloo! And then she'll leave.
Classic sister.
Mr. Salt, do we have anything we would like to do this morning?
Yes, I think probably since he hasn't received it yet, he'll at some point during the day, he will also send correspondence to Lord Drake, also confirming whenever you're available this evening, if you'd like to come over, you know, I'm happy to talk things over whenever's convenient for you. So I will send that off and presumably we'll trade them back and forth.
Okay, fantastic.
And then the major thing he wants to do in the morning is he's going to have Lefroy come in for his morning sparring lessons and kind of go through. And I think as Lefroy comes in, he's going to go, bad news today, Mr. Lefroy, our pads. And he holds up, he's got a baseball glove that's been wrapped in bubble wrap. That's what he uses for his boxing pads. And he's kind of ripped them apart a little bit. He goes, they've come undone, but I think we'll still be able to get through with our lesson. And he just kind of holds his hands up for him to hit back and forth.
Oh, certainly, Mr. Thalt. I don't want to unleash the thunder on you, though.
Unleash what you have, little lord. And as I kind of catch and practice with him, I'm going to use, as a Goliath, I have an ability called Stone's Endurance, which usually lets me reduce damage on a hit. I would like to use it here to kind of toughen up my palms a little bit so that when he walks away, nothing major, nothing huge, but just a little bruise or scrape on the knuckle that really only be noticeable to a particularly shrewd observer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to say make an attack roll.
Okay.
This is
my stats?
Your stats. We're going to, this isn't really performance. This isn't really persuasion. This is your mastery of hand-to-hand combat.
Cool.
So, this is an interesting way to go about this. I like it.
That's an 11 plus 6, 17.
Okay, fantastic. We're going to call that the DC for an observer to notice.
Okay.
The scrapes. And also it's going to be your standing sort of passive persuasion for them to understand what you want about them.
Okay, gotcha.
So they will make insight against that. And if they don't beat it, they're going to understand that he has been
a little rough and tumble.
Yeah, he's been you know, scrapping it up a little.
Cool.
All right, fantastic.
And then kind of over the course of training, I'm going to say, Mr. Lefroy, I apologize, but I haven't received word yet, but Miss Rhinelander did request my presence, something about a doll that needs to be fixed. I might suggest you spend the afternoon calling on Lady Blightwind without me. I think you do wonderful. I'm sure Miss Sweetly would be happy to chaperone you and probably all the happier to do it without me there. So I might suggest you write to her and I'll meet you this afternoon.
Do you think I'm ready to do this on my own?
And I kind of hold up my hand for him to hit again and go, absolutely, little lord, and let him.
He's the best.
Yes. He just snaps a little straight punch into it.
Hell yeah.
I imagine him being like the ultimate like tiny karate kid.
Yeah,
where he's like so rigid and just like.
he's been taking karate at the Y for
he's got a little homemade headband that he ties on.
It's made of bubble wrap.
Yep.
Doubles his protection.
Mm-hmm. He gets a bubble wrap headgear.
All right, fantastic. So he's going to go and set to that.
Cool.
And we'll swing over to Rhinelander Hall.
Yeah.
Because you got some stuff happening.
Yeah, there's a couple things that I need to do. First of all, I need to send a letter to the doctor to be like, hey, what's up with the blood?
Where's that blood?
Where's that blood? Also, he woke up from his coma last night and there was a fire in his room. Thoughts?
Medically relevant? You decide.
Then what I need to do is I'm going to send in that letter to Edgewater. I would also say, feel free to come earlier if you want. There will be staff around. I'll have updates for you. I will also then send separate invitations to Samuel, Mr. Salt, and to Belladonna, because I think Belladonna gave me a location to send the card.
To my office, yeah.
Great, okay. And I'm just going to, I will send in Belladonna's letter. It will basically say, like, I would love to start at 10:03 on the dot. People will arrive at 9:33. So arrive when you need to. I'll be home all day. And then to everybody else, I will send into the gentleman's letters. It will basically say, you're invited to an impromptu seance. Also, the doll needs to be fixed. If you can do it in one go while you're at the seance, great. And that goes to Mr. Salt. And then to Samuel goes, the door needs some fixing. Do you know how? Send help. come by for the seance. yes, those are what I need to send today. In the, this morning, that's what I'm going to do.
Okay, fantastic. So those all go out. We're gonna zip to the sort of the
door needs fixing. Say us, send help.
It's not actually a sending spell. You can use more words.
What? Meanwhile, I should say, while she's writing these invitations, because she's writing them, which I think, yeah, she'll write them. But she's in the mirror in the doll room going, like, just thinking about something appearing, and her mask appears and disappears. So she's speaking, and her language is very divided, I think, because she's, like, just looking at herself while the mirror is, while the mask is appearing and
that's
disappearing.
Right,
hey. Stop.
You need to stop doing that.
Yep. All right. So we're going to head to the end of the morning hours because as letters are being sent out, Lucas comes in.
A few things, sir. You have some correspondence that I'm sure you'll have to deal with. And you do have a caller.
Oh. I wasn't expecting anybody this early. Who is it?
The small gentleman from a few days ago.
Of course. His timing is impeccable. Have him meet me in the sitting room. I'll be down shortly. Thank you, Lucas.
As you wish, sir.
I will take a little more time getting ready. Make him sweat a little bit waiting for me. But also make sure I look as lordly as possible.
So no big like open.
No. Shirts just on. my fur kilt is safely in the closet, and going down preen and proper.
So you get to the sitting room, and as soon as you enter, he stands respectfully.
Lord Drake. Mr. Robo-Wright, if you have forgotten. So how is the search for the marriage certificate going?
I'll bow my head respectfully. Mr. Robo-Wright, thank you for coming. Yes, unfortunately it took some time for my husband's effects to make their way over from his estate outside of the city. I have begun looking through them. So far I've just gone through one box. Unfortunately,
Understandable, my lord.
No. So I will continue that search and get that to you as soon as possible. Actually, my brother-in-law has recently come in town. He'll be going through some of my brother's effects as well. So hopefully this search will go quicker. Convenient that you've arrived. I did have a question.
Oh, I do enjoy being fortuitous. Not usually something that is an adjective that is ascribed to me, so I will take it.
Very fortuitous indeed. You did mention, I believe, the first day you came to visit my estate, that you did have the sworn statement from the officiator of the wedding, correct?
Oh, yes, yes.
And mostly this was to ensure that my husband had signed off stating that he was of rights, mind, and et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay. Should, as I continue searching, in case that document did wind up being missed somehow or it somehow left his possessions at some time, would there be any recourse in this way to officiate my title?
Oh, well, it would be, it would probably just be time consuming, assuming there were no challenges. But we would just probably get the witnesses together and get the officiant to come back and get a notarized affidavit swearing his statement, and it would take some time, but honestly the marriage certificate would go a long way to get that taken care of.
Absolutely.
And it would be much simpler.
I will continue, as I said, most diligently looking for that. You mentioned the word challenge. I just want to clear my understanding. I come from a different land, different customs. Challenges have a certain connotation. What would that look like?
Well, we haven't really done one in a while. Well, it could take many forms. Most, it would be a written challenge to the legitimacy of your claim. And then that challenge would be researched and investigated and would be adjudicated by people that are quite honestly above my pay grade.
Understood. Thank you. I think that answers my questions. I will continue searching for that marriage certificate.
It would be, not to speak out of school, your lordship, but given some whispers that I've been hearing, it might not be a bad idea to expedite that in any way you can.
Evan, can I use an action right now to trace or to hear a rumor?
You are currently in a room with a person. You can do. This is not a rumor action. This is just
one-on-one.
You got one dude here.
Okay. I'm sorry. You whispers? What's being said?
It would be wildly inappropriate in my official capacity to repeat unfounded gossip.
Good
to
man.
You,
good
my
man.
Lord.
get out of my head.
Beat him up.
At the window.
Beat him up.
She's a little pennant that just says, go manners.
How to phrase this. I understand you want to maintain your professional integrity. You've already made this known to me, however. And I think it only right for a man in my position to be able to defend his honor against any baseless claims.
Yeah.
throw me an intimidation check.
Hell yeah.
Woo!
And he's gonna...
Cocked. Damn it, that was a 17 on the die. I'll take a 15 on the die, though. That's a total of 19.
Okay, he did well. He did well, but he only got a 16.
Oof.
Your lordship, not to go into any specifics, but there are whispers that are calling into question the, and I apologize, the circumstances of your late husband's passing. I don't have any specifics, but your proximity was noted.
I understand. So sorry. I do have one additional question. You work for the Crown, correct?
Yes.
Again, unfamiliar with this land's customs, I apologize, but you being a member of the administration, duels to maintain one's honor.
Fuck yes.
Oh, yeah.
Are those common, and or do they stand on official ground here?
Yes, you may have passed the Honor Dome at some point in time in your travels.
Any official
question of a duel of honor is settled in there. Sometimes it is a singular combat to the death. Sometimes there are other stipulations. And in rare instances, we have had factions that needed to settle a grievance agree to settling their differences in the Honor Dome.
Yes.
I will give a deep bow. You've been very kind to someone new to your land, and I do appreciate your professionalism.
You are incredibly scary, sir.
And your fortuitousness. Again, I will make it my priority to find that marriage certificate. You have yourself a nice day, sir.
You as well, your lordship. Oh, I gotta go.
And he exits.
Lucas?
Yes, sir.
How are those invites going?
Oh, very well, sir.
So, I've had you working on the official ones. Lucas, I do need to give you one of these.
am I reading this correctly, sir?
Yes, Lucas. I would like you and two other members of the staff of your choosing to attend the ball in 5 days.
I will... put this to the rest of the household, sir. And we will be hosting out at...
Offley House.
Yes!
Understood, sir. Oh, by the way, sir, this came for you.
It is a response from the Cartographer's Guild.
Oh.
And it simply says that they have been made aware by your brother-in-law that you are considered his guest and are afforded any of the amenities that members are allowed to enjoy, including some of their more esoteric communication services. If you would care to drop by for a tour and to make use of any of these facilities, drop by at your convenience.
Excellent. just checking. Do they give like hours of operation or anything like that?
They seem to be sort of like a gentleman's club, so it will probably be sort of like a 2 to midnight kind of.
Okay. What have I gotten the other correspondence going around?
Oh, yeah. Everyone has received all of the random notes that have been going back and forth.
Perfect. Excellent. I'll have time. I will spend some of my promenade hours handling that. Things are going as smoothly as they can.
Okay. So we are now up to calling hours. Everyone has gotten all of their varying and sundry correspondence delivered to them. Responses are coming in. Dr. Brinley writes back to you.
Miss Rhinelander, I understand that you're not the only blood sample I've had to test, but that's really probably more information than you needed. So your father's blood showed nothing out of the ordinary except for traces of a powerful barbiturate. Naturally occurring, isolated it down to a particular flower.
I knew, Daniel knew it. Ruby didn't.
I'm really interested to know what Ruby knows, because you all seem to think you know something, and if you know exactly the thing that actually happened, I'd be amazed.
No. Daniel, Ruby doesn't know. Daniel suspected the flower family. The
Blightwings.
Yes.
The Blightwings.
Yeah. I suspect everybody. All right?
Shocked. No, you I don't. Shocked. You are carousing with the most toxic man in New Britannia.
Exactly.
All right.
Bullshit.
Okay.
I suspect everybody. Hey, new guy, come break down my door.
So, firstly, I read this letter and I go, weird that other people are getting their blood tested, but I guess so. and then
is everyone's dad in a coma?
And then
weird.
I go,
probably.
Okay, I'm gonna make note of that, and I'm gonna take a red quill or dip it in red ink, and circle the barbiturate. In the letter, and I'm like, I'm going to show Edgewater this. She'll know what to do with it. I don't know how to respond to this, and I guess I'll send another response and just say, well, please hurry. The man is setting fires to his own pillows in his coma.
there is another thing in the envelope.
Oh, and fires make no sense.
Well, I already wrote it, and I'm too... I'm, uh, I'm too stressed to rewrite the letter, so you're getting that anyway, and I write that. I write that all the way out, and I send that one.
I am distraught.
Almost okay. In hysterics, even.
Ooh, I believe vapors are happening.
Yep.
Okay.
Careful, those are flammable.
Depending on them. Nicodemus responds, no worries, probably fine. We'll keep it real, real low-key.
I forgot you were Australian.
Drift in more New Zealand. But,
yeah, I like that. That's why I like you more.
I'll be there as your spiritual guardian. We'll sell it that way.
Okay.
Fantastic. And right. Low juice.
Low juice.
Keep it real easy breezy.
Dry.
Yeah. All right. Mary thinks to herself, how do I do this with low juice? I know that's what I said last night when I was freaked out, but I forget how to do this without juice. And then I remember how reactive Ruby was, and I was like, oh, she'll bring the juice. Okay. So I don't need to bring any.
This is not a BYOJ.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jay provided. I'm shaking my head at myself for that. Yeah. I will own that.
I loved it.
All right. So during calling hours, Edgewater, are you heading to Ruby's or do you have other plans?
I'm sorry. I just want to check back in. A calling card was sent to her from Lord Drake?
Yes. Yeah, I sent one to Mary Smith and one to Edgewater.
Fuck yeah. So I'm going over to Lord Drake's first.
Okay.
So is that, so you sending the calling card is saying that, like
Wait,
asking.
Are you coming to visit us or are we going to visit you?
I'm sending it to you to please come visit me today. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I should have specified, I would have done the same situation. Mary Smith, earlier time appointment, Edgewater near the end.
Okay. So I'm sure it won't happen again.
It can't possibly.
No comedic possibility that could occur. Yeah. Mary, you are on your way out to keep this appointment. Mm-hmm. And it's the Carnival of Progress tomorrow. Edwin's firm has got their own little stall, basically showing their new CIMAC crystal technology. He is currently having an angry discussion with his lead engineers about how he doesn't particularly care if they aren't entirely ready. Make it work.
Make it work.
And at that time, your favorite not quite in-law shows up.
Marguerite.
No. Her brother.
Oh.
Yes. Connor Carson enters with a walking stick clacking loudly on the hall, on the floor of the hall. And Edison looks at the engineers like, no, it's just get it ready. It has to work tomorrow. I don't care what you have to do. Just make it function. All right. Understand? Fantastic. This is what I pay you people for. Now get out. Be busy elsewhere. Not here. Go.
Can I kind of step in to sort of usher them out and either...
Yes, Mary, make yourself useful. Show them out.
Yeah, either find a way of hiding or of like eavesdropping, like scope out a good situation to overhear what these two bozos are about to talk about.
You're not going to be able to hide in the office.
Yeah,
you will be able to. You will be able
much.
To eavesdrop outside the door, though.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I will say, gentlemen and ladies, you know... Mary's not good at talking to people, but she's going to be like, it's, you know, Lord Sparks has an appointment. Please, I'm sure you have much, much engineering and such to do. Science? For science, gentlemen, for science.
They harumph out.
Yes, I harumph with them.
And Connor closes the door behind him.
Does he look at me or...
No, like pointedly, no.
Okay. I make another mental note to myself about how much I hate that guy.
So
and
noted.
And I lurk.
Okay. The door closes.
With anger in my heart.
You and your hate-filled heart lurk outside the door. So you want to make a perception check to see if you can hear what they're talking about inside.
Yeah.
They are speaking very quietly, so you're looking at 17 or higher.
Well, I have a +9 now.
Wow.
That
God
is
dang.
Not going to be difficult.
Wow. I swear to God.
Don't jinx it.
No one look at me. It's a 17 on the die.
Oh, okay.
Plus right. 9. Yeah.
So it is, it's quiet, and they seem both very charged.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Not in a sexual way.
No.
No.
Finish that. This is,
there is anger, thinly veiled anger. And Connor lays into Edison with like, I don't know exactly what you think you're doing, but I know that you were the one that started that little rumor. Now, you are not going to start making trouble. If you had kept your nerve beforehand, I wouldn't have to have gone to plan B. Look, it was a bad idea, and I honestly am quite shocked that you even attempted it again alone. But you did, and now you... I hope you've gotten what you wanted. But look, I have cut ties with that whole thing. Not entirely. I had to do something. It was my fault, my responsibility. You know, we could have taken care of it at the time. Yes, we could have, but then we all would have been, quite honestly, heartless assholes like you, sir. Keep.
Mary outside is going, oh my God.
Keep talking, Edison. You should know by now, I am willing to do quite a bit to further my interests. I have no problem getting rid of obstacles. I am starting to consider renegotiating our little arrangement. Don't give me reason to go down any further along that path. All right. But I don't believe you're so irresponsible to try it again. But this time it worked. Fine. I will let it drop. I will reverse course on this. Look, I have work to do. So please just take the money and just go. All right? If I catch wind of any more of this nonsense, I will be very upset. And you know what I am capable of when I am upset. Yes. Yes, you've made that abundantly clear. Now, please, I have work to do. Please go. Good day.
And he starts clacking his walking
yeah,
stick
I'm
back towards the
barrel
door.
Roll out of there.
All right.
I'm shoulder rolling. No, I'm just kidding. That's because that would be harder. I'm just going to walk briskly.
Yeah, it's very difficult to barrel roll Lumpy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to need to make a stealth check.
I get a 13.
He rolled a 1.
Oh, thank God.
He is clearly. Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, my rolling curse has come back.
Thank you for taking it back.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah, we're back, baby.
Yeah.
He is clearly far too riled up about whatever it was they were talking about to pay you any mind.
Yeah.
He just power walks out of the house.
So, from what I was hearing, just so that I, Emily, am clear. It sounded like Edison Sparks, he was the one who was trying to do something and has now worked, or was it Connor?
That was Connor.
Okay, yeah.
And Edison was the one who seems to have done something to anger Connor and was surprised he tried again.
Okay, yeah. So he was surprised that Connor had tried this thing again.
Yes.
But it worked this time.
Yes.
Whatever it was. Okay.
It's probably fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably nothing.
Okay.
Absolutely nothing.
Okay. When has a con Edison ever caused anyone any trouble?
Oh.
So you're gonna hang around the house, make your way over to Drake's.
Yeah, I'll get my outfit ready and kind of stare hauntedly out of a window and the usual. Oh. Trudy, you can't do that.
Sorry.
Swear to God.
Move a little slower today. God. Head's pounding.
I know. I honestly, me too. You can't sneak up on me like that, Trudy.
Hey. So sorry. Anyway, do you need anything?
Just answers, Trudy. Just answers.
Ooh, what are the questions? Spill the tea, spill the tea, girl.
Trudy, I don't even know what the tea is on this one. I think it is too piping hot for any of us to really safely handle.
I'm sorry, I'm getting lost in the metaphor.
Yeah, me what? Too. Oh. Me too, Trudy. Me too.
Well, once it cools down, let me know. I'll see if I can suss anything out.
Yeah, Trudy, you and I go way back.
Yes, right. Yes.
I may need, at some point, to trust you with something that's not just juicy, petty bullshit, which is what you and I love the most.
We do good. We, love a good shit talk session.
We really do.
But I've known you since you were a little baby.
Really?
Yes, you've been here quite a while.
I guess when I was a kid, I was really just thought that I was, you know, being adopted into a loving family, and then, you know, slowly over time realized that they hated me and didn't want me to be there. And so I think that you didn't really kind of land consciously in my mind until after that.
They kept you isolated
they
for
really
quite
did.
A while.
They really did. So wait, when did I? Do you remember when I got here?
You were maybe 2 years old, maybe. That's what I was told when the master brought you in.
Really? He did. I'm sure he wouldn't have mentioned it. But did you hear anything about where they found me, or?
Oh, lords, no! Just that you were adopted from a terrible situation, and he was going to give you a better life.
Super characteristic of them.
Oh yes, it smelled like bullshit from there.
Yeah,
but
that's what it was, yeah.
But that's not my place. There was a new little one to take care of. And then, you know, eventually Clayton came along, and the more of the attention was needed for him.
Yeah.
So,
what an idiot!
Well,
not that you heard that. That I said that.
No, no.
Other people said that, not me.
Yes.
I'm just repeating what other people have said. Do you remember what Marguerite, how she felt about it when I showed up? Not that you would have known, but maybe other people would have heard or seen something, and then they would have told you about it, and maybe then you
she
could tell
was,
me about it.
Lady Marguerite takes some time to warm to people.
She's a
and
slow burn.
She was not as enthusiastic about your adoption as one thought a childless lady of the house might have been.
Yeah, she's never been particularly maternal.
Well, not until your brother, heavy air quotes, came along.
Heavy air quotes, yeah.
And even then, it's a cold sort of motherly instinct. But it's not for me to judge. We're talking quite a bit for the morning.
Yeah, neither of us have kids. We can't say. We can just, you know, say.
Well, we can say whatever the fuck we want. Just not get heard.
Yes, exactly. See, this
Rock
is why
on.
I fuck with you.
Amen.
That's why I fuck with you.
But also, it there are people milling about, so maybe we should put a lid on it.
Yeah. Not so loud, Trudy. Jeez. Crazy.
But when you know a bit more, and if there's anything I can help you find out, just come get me. I'm still a devious one.
God bless you. If I didn't have you here, Trudy, I don't know what I'd be doing.
Getting drunk alone.
Yeah.
Oof.
Honestly, too real, Trudy. All right, keep it moving. Let's
me too.
Go.
No idea where that comes from.
No. Trudy just emerged into the void, fully formed.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so you've had a little one-on-one time with Trudy, and we're going to be heading. We got Mary heading off to the Drake House. Mr. Salt has got some.
Yeah,
work
I think
he wants to do.
I don't think he has much going on until it sounds like later this evening for the seance. And I guess he'll look at the doll then. So I think during calling hours, he'll go talk to Ford just quickly and say, Mr. Ford, I've been called to help out Miss Rhinelander. Her father's sick and there's some going on about that. Would you mind bringing Mr. Seltzer over to the Blightwind Manor later?
No problem.
Thank you.
Remind him to strap himself in.
Oh.
He's tiny. He's going to slip out.
I will. I'll make sure he's quite secure. Actually, now that I think about it, I have no idea what Miss Rhinelander said. Do you happen to know? Do we have any gloves? Do we have any gloves? And he frantically shakes his gloves off his hands. Yeah. You know what? You wouldn't. Your hands are so much bigger than mine. You have large. forget it. Could you just? And he reaches into his pocket and he goes, "While you're over there, would you mind?" And he pulls out a letter. And goes, "Could you give this to Miss Sweetly?"
Oh.
No problem.
Great, thank you. I must be going, and as quickly as possible. Good day, Mr. Ford.
Don't forget your gloves. He's a weird one. And that was incredibly painfully awkward. Okay. We've got Edgewater heading over a bit later during calling hours. Ruby, you're staying in for calling hours?
I am going to stay in for calling hours. Can I send one letter during calling hours? Is that weird?
No, that's fine.
Cool. I just want to send a letter to Ruben to thank him for everything, all the gifts he sent me, and for just being such a gentleman over the past few days.
Fantastic. That will be sent out. let's go to Mary at the Drake residence.
Yes, so I'll head over after my gossip sesh with Trudy. I'll go in the front, but I may try to go out a side entrance when I leave.
Gotcha.
Cool. Try and avoid what happened last time.
Okay.
Although it may be, I honestly might be inevitable, and that might just be how my life goes now.
Could be. Lucas meets you again.
Yes. My lady, come this way.
Thank you, Mr. Lucas.
Miss Smith. Lord Drake, Miss Smith has arrived.
Excellent. Thank you, Lucas. If you wouldn't mind just standing outside the door, please.
Absolutely.
Thank you. You're a good man. Miss Smith.
Miss Lord Drake, it's good to see you again. How are you? I heard from other people that it was a long night, and what's... a lot of other things happened with other people.
Word's already getting out then.
Yeah.
I feared that.
Not like in a crazy way, but just I heard it from one other person. Anyway, here's Gus. Do you want to hold him again?
I don't think
I'll I'll just set him loose. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely fine. There's more cheese if he would like some.
Yes, he would. He's already eating it.
Okay. This will be a quick meeting.
Oh, okay.
Mary, I need to ask you a favor.
All right. Depends on the favor.
Yes. I know before I was asking if you ever heard anything from the Lord Sparks to let me know, but you're going to be getting an invitation.
Wait.
Soon here.
Me? Like Mary Smith me? What? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Huh?
Yes. Mm. I will be throwing a masquerade ball.
Ooh.
In just about 5 days' time. I've saved up enough wealth recently to invite quite a few.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to have an expanded guest list. I'm hoping I can trust you with this. And I will hand her 3 invites. Give one of these to you, the most senior of your staff, or at least someone you trust. And they are to invite 2 other members of the staff who they feel have been overworked and overlooked.
You know, your timing is incredible.
Fortuitous has been the theme of today.
Absolutely. I know just the lady.
Okay.
I don't want to make assumptions. You do know this is like unusual.
Well, yes.
Just double checking, because if you are talking to Edgewater later, she will also mention it.
Sounds like you're assuming a lot then.
I just know that you dance 2 dances together, so. And she that's her limit. So that says a lot.
Were those also whispers from a
single
person?
Yeah, from other. Well, that I don't know. They're just around. people notice things.
You don't talk to a lot of people.
I don't know why you would say that. I talk to you. We're talking right now, for example.
Yes, we are.
That is one example of someone I might talk to.
Yes. listen.
Yep.
I'm going to be absolutely frank with you.
Okay, bring it on.
I'm already having a lot of whispers about me.
Mm-hmm.
You've brought me some news today. I had another visitor bring me some ill news. I have a feeling things are going to be crashing around me, and I'd like to be the one who pulls out the first block.
Mm-hmm.
But recognizing that, I wouldn't think ill of you if you'd rather not be in the area when that happens. So if you could just deliver that invite,
mm-hmm.
we never have to speak again. But my offer still
Ouch.
Stands. No. My offer still stands. This is a safe place. Let me rephrase that. You will never find ill company with me.
I was going to say promising safety in this era is foolish.
That I can't promise. I can promise I'll put up a fight.
You've been honest with me. I'll be honest with you. I have no interest in being caught in a visible altercation. I have no problem with being involved in it behind the scenes. You said once that we choose some family and we are born into some families. I don't know which family I was born into, but I know which family I was placed into. There's a lot I have to learn about them and a lot I have to learn about you before I can decide who I would rather be caught standing next to once the dust settles. But on behalf of, you know, one person whose invite you'll be will be receiving later today, who would absolutely love to get wild at a ball in about 5 days. You've done a lot more to ensure my interest, at least, than many other people have.
Where I come from, you have to have sharp instincts in order to survive, and I don't think I've made a wrong decision making you an ally. I hope you wind up thinking the same about me.
All right. I won't assume that you'll be rumor-free in your time here, but some of us hear a good amount of rumors and have very few started about us, so I'll be happy to keep an eye out. And I won't say too much right now, but it may be worth your interest to watch the interaction of Lord Sparks and his brother-in-law, Lord Connor Carson.
Noted.
They're in informal business together.
Oh, this day keeps getting more and more interesting. That's it for me, Mary.
Also, Edgewater really likes you. In a chill, proprietary way. Like, just a chill, like, normal, like,
very
respectful way.
Will be the first time you or I think anybody here has seen it. A little flush of purple will
purple.
Splash across the
he
blue scales.
Purple.
I love it.
Can I help you with anything else?
Just some cheese for the road.
Please, you can take the rest.
Thank you so much. Shove it in my pocket.
Which one?
One of many.
All right. Is Edgewater on her way in, and are we doing another stealth first perception?
Sure.
Or is Mary just embracing the awkward?
I'll try going out the side door, and then we'll see if we still run into each other.
Oh
my gosh.
You son of a bitch.
I mean, there's still a chance.
There's still a chance. Nope. It's a 13.
It's a nat 20.
Okay.
Oh.
So I
so you're coming out
very
the side door.
Stealthily go out the side door. I slink around the
Mary.
Corner.
You don't need to go in the side entrance. I'm sorry, Miss Smith. Whoa, that was very,
you know,
very rude of me. I'm so sorry.
So
but
okay.
You're my cousin. You don't need to go in the servant's entrance. Come in with me. And it's so kind of
you
to be the chaperone
so
again.
Just beneficent, whatever the word is.
And really,
yeah,
one of my closest and dearest friends. Come with
so
me.
Good.
This is wonderful.
My God. Yeah. have I introduced you to Gus? And I just plop the mouse right in your hand. Yeah.
What's the cheese situation?
Oh, he's got both little hands, both little mouse hands full of cheese. Mouth full of cheese. So you got cheese and mouse in your hands. He likes you.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't. I mean, he might like me too much, and I don't want to take him away from you.
I'll take him back. I don't know why I expected that to work, but
okay.
So you're here
with you because
with me, yes.
You're going to chaperone mm-hmm. again, yes. And of course, Lord Drake invited us over.
God,
yes.
The universe is a cruel mistress.
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, I was just talking to the mouse. Okay, oh. Let's go in, I guess. Jesus.
All right.
Well, I just came just in case. Mm-hmm. Stroke of genius. But I know last time, you know, Lucas was very willing to give to, you know, be your chaperone, and I didn't want to presume.
Yes. Lord Drake's butler, yes.
But also, you know,
Just in case, it's good,
you know,
to have you here.
Edgewater, and I'll say this as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, I'm becoming Southern. Because I hope that will, you know, be, you'll, you know, relate to that.
In what way?
That's just my internal dialogue. Don't worry about it.
Oh, all right.
I can tell that you... And this is me using my mimicry feet to sound like Ruby.
Yes, yes. You sound so familiar.
Yeah, don't worry about it, hon. I can tell that there is a connection between you and Lord Drake.
No, it's all right. Ruby says Bettine.
Bettine. I'm really good at accents and voices, mm-hmm. as you can tell. You writing down a note to say Bettine?
Yeah, I'm glad we all saw that.
a spark, if you will, between you and Lord Drake. And I wouldn't want to, you know,
really?
Disrupt that.
Really? You think so?
Absolutely. A bless your heart and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, right. Yeah. And if it is a little bit less chaperone-y for your chaperone, still chaperone.
Okay.
But less right. chaperone-y for... Lucas to be the chaperone is still within the tenets, which is very important, but you know how there's
right.
like very chaperone and then less chaperoned, you know, but it's still chaperoned.
I'm not sure I know what you mean, but perhaps if you started mm-hmm. with me like last time,
yeah.
right? You went in last time with me, and then
yeah.
you sort of made your own exit. I mean, I don't want it to seem like mm-hmm. you were ignoring Lord Drake's invitation. So if you could perhaps come in with me,
okay.
and then maybe make your excuses, and,
okay.
and
I'll
then
say,
Lucas
oh,
could
I have
take
a
over.
Headache.
Perfect.
Yes.
That works
Every time. And we clasp hands as if we were actually friends. And I'm like, oh God, we're bonding.
Thanks.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. So we go in together, I guess. And I'm going to try to like widen my eyes at Lord Drake to be like, keep it cool and don't say anything.
Miss Smith, did you Miss
yes.
Miss Clarence, mm-hmm. The Lord is expecting you both.
Thank you,
yes.
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 Yes. Yes, of course.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Good. We're all in agreement.
Good.
Let's
good.
may I escort you ladies to the sitting room while I summon Lord Drake.
Thank you, Lucas. I am here, as usual, to chaperone temporarily for a bit.
Because she's already said that she might have a bit
yes,
of a headache.
I'm feeling faint.
That
and a
too.
Bit under the weather.
Mm, all of those things.
And some headache
at once
starting.
Oh, right. Do you need me to
nope.
fetch you?
Nope.
All right. I will go and
nope.
Alert Lord Drake that you
Thank
are
you.
Here.
Excellent.
Thank you very much,
Thank
Lucas.
Sir, Miss Clarence is here as well as Miss Smith again, though she has a headache and is feeling faint. I'm honestly not sure.
Again?
You keep doing this!
I really need to change the order.
I mean, permission to speak freely, Your Lordship.
Abs, anytime, Lucas.
Honestly, a bit more of a space between the two would be just... It for our sakes.
I always expect the meetings with Miss Smith to be much faster.
Well, we seem to have learned now, haven't we, sir?
Fool me once.
Anyway, they are waiting in the sitting room, though I do not believe Miss Smith will be here long.
Excellent. If you wouldn't mind being prepared in case we do need a proper chaperone.
I will be inattentive outside the door, as is always the case.
You are the best. I'll make my way down into the sitting room.
Good afternoon, Mr. Drake.
Good afternoon, Lord Drake.
Oh, my God.
Miss Smith.
I'm clasping my forehead.
You're looking quite under the weather.
She has a headache.
I have a headache. Lord Drake, it was so kind of you to invite me and remember, you know, my dear friend's propriety.
Yes.
Ow. The headache's becoming real. I feel so terrible, but I may have to step away and allow your staff to take over the chaperoning.
No, Miss Smith, you've done me a kindness already by accepting my invite while feeling so ill.
Yeah.
Please do not feel you're obligated to stay here.
Thank you so much. I have such good staff, such as
Lucas, who could chaperone for
us.
Absolutely, yes.
Yes, thank you. And that's what I was saying.
Yes, she was very proper and made sure that I would have proper supervision before she resigned to her own home.
Yes.
Yeah. As long as you're comfortable, Miss Clarence.
I am very. Thank you.
I'm going to look between them, kind of like grinning. Like, and then I'm going to just kind of demurely walk backwards. Be like, well, until next time.
Right.
Miss Smith, may I see you out?
Thank you. Yes, please do.
Perhaps I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
Same time, same place. All right.
Oh, gosh, that was just yesterday, wasn't it? Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a busy season, really. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'll walk out with Lucas.
Miss Clarence, first off, thank you for those lovely dances last night. I know I was in a bit of a state, but...
You were so kind to continue the evening with me, despite everything that had happened for you.
I think you were the one who did the kindness, but I appreciate the sentiment all the same. I won't lie to you, Miss Clarence. I did have, I don't know if business is the right word to phrase this. Could I ask a small favor of you?
Oh, certainly.
Two, actually. First, a little bit of trust on your end. And I will take out 3 more of the invites from the sitting room desk and hand those over to you. Those are not for you. Let me start off from the beginning here. I will be throwing a masquerade ball in 5 days.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Of course, you, your family, honestly, I believe I will have enough staff to have quite the party.
Oh.
So mass invites will be going out. Those 3 specifically, if there are members of the staff who you feel are overworked, overlooked, and could use a night of revelry, they should be given those in a discreet manner.
Oh, so you are inviting some of the members of different household staff to your ball?
With everyone wearing masks, who's to say who will be in attendance?
So, no one will be recognized as who they are at the ball.
I'm sure there will be members who specifically tailor their outfits to be recognized.
By
but
everyone? Perhaps.
I figure this gives a chance for a bit of anonymity, a way to escape, and the theme of the evening will be embracing the wild.
My stars and God.
Mr. Drake, I feel perhaps that I understand what you are trying to tell me. And I would be happy to deliver these to Mr. Mortimer. And if you don't mind, my maid, Clarabelle. I am sorry, I think you said 2 favors. I am immediately finding myself in very immediate hurry to get to Ruby's place. Can I help you with that other favor?
This was less of a help me and more of a, as you can surmise, I'm towing a line. And there's quite a few murmurs I've been hearing about myself already. I looks down, flush of purple. Miss Clarence, I think I've only ever known how to approach problems forwardly and bluntly. So let me just come out and say this. I have quite enjoyed the few last days with you. You have been, honestly, a ray of sunshine in what I thought would be a storm-filled new environment.
Yes.
I would quite enjoy to spend more time with you, perhaps in a more official courting manner. However, I am opening myself up to a lot of danger, for lack of a better word, and I would not want to besmirch your reputation solely because of my selfishness. So my favor is...
What do you mean, danger?
Miss Clarence, I think you, out of anyone, knows throwing this kind of arrangement, inviting staff, the things I've already done.
But you've so cleverly thought of a ploy in which no one will know that the servants are there, and anyone can do whatever they want because they're masked, and no one will know whether they're of the working classes or the upper classes. So anyone can really just get away with anything. I gotta talk to Ruby right now. Sorry. Wait, what was that again?
Miss Clarence, you're the first to hear about this. There's already murmurs that I may have played a part in my husband's death.
What? Of course not.
I thank you for your immediate trust, but... that can only be the beginning of what I imagine to be an avalanche of what the society will do to me if things should go wrong and anyone near me. So, the favor I ask of you is simply this. Think of this as a proposal to continue seeing me.
This guy right over here.
Son of a bitch.
This guy. Oh, man.
Edward's heart sinks. Okay.
Take your time to consider. That is my favor I ask of you. Think this through and think what would be best for you and not me.
Lord Drake, I say this as the utmost Bridger Tennant scholar in this society. There are ways to get around such scandals. Ooh. Don't you worry. I'll be back.
And she exits. She just leaves. She just gets up and leaves.
I think Samuel starts fanning himself. Yeah.
Christ alive.
Wow, mama.
Okay. Wow. Holy cannoli.
I knew she was right. A freak.
Lucas,
you're
gonna need, Lucas, you're gonna need a cold bath.
I heard everything, my lord. I'm on it. Oh, man.
At this point, we're going to prepare ourselves to flash forward. Unless anyone has anything super pressing, but we do have yet another seance to engage in. And we're going to wrap for the time being right here. Ooh. We're going to come back next time with a little pregame with, I'm sure Edgewater may have a few things to discuss with Ruby, and then into a low juice seance.
Low juice, guys. No real ghosts, just fake scam ones.
I don't know if we're naming titles or naming episodes, but...
Low juice.
That may be next time. All right, fantastic. Well, again, thanks to everybody for listening, and we will catch you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
What could the exploding pillow mean? Should Ruby inspect her other pillows? What is going on with Sparks and Connor Carson, and can Mary turn it to her advantage? What was in Salt's secret letter to Beadea? What rumors are circulating about Samuel, and how exactly did Henry die? Will Edgewater be able to hold in her excitement now that she and Samuel are officially courting? I truly hope we start getting some answers on the next episode of Scandals and Scavengers. Thank you for listening to Scandals and Scavengers, a post-apocalyptic Regency romance with Daniel Began as Ruby Grace Rhinelander, Matt's the Last as Lord Samuel Drake, Johnny McElerney as Second Lieutenant Immortan Salt, Emily Carmen Weldon as Mary Smith, Beau Powell as Edgewater Clarence, and Evan Kelly as the Game Master. Produced by Evan Kelly, Trope Warden Beau Powell.
Hey, this is Daniel. Thanks for listening. If you're enjoying what you're hearing, consider supporting us on Patreon, where we release episodes early, and you'll get access to our post-show cast discussions, Twisted Talks, our Discord community, and more.